Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, it's Victoria. Yet another fun-filled night of conversation about cool things. So tonight I decided to share a little bit about my experiences I had with communicating with angels and my connection to animals, and just share some of the experiences I had and how it came about, how I discerned, you know, what was going on, whether it was or was not, you know, true communication. And also to give you a couple tools to try to start you on that process of becoming closer to them and being able to do this for yourself. Because everybody has the ability to do these things. It's just a matter of pushing aside your ego and practicing and being open and listening. So my dog's sitting right next to you being super ultra seriously funny. Anywho, so when I started out with this whole journey on metaphysics and understanding, you know, what I'm capable of doing as being a person who is learning that she is a light worker, you know, a lot of things, you know, need to be practiced. And one of those things, as I've mentioned, you know, countless times in other shows, is about quieting your mind. So I did a lot of practice on that. Really focused on changing my vibration from something where I was negative to more of a positive. And negative being, you know, just being mean, nasty, judgmental, you know, those words that we talked about last week about the ego, things like that. And just being aware of how much my thoughts do affect my energy, because we are energies. We allude energies to people. So, you know, I started becoming more aware, just aware of how things felt. I'm very, you know, very big on the clairs, where it's where you feel energy. So I used to be able to walk into rooms and know the mood of the room right away. Or, you know, I'd see a friend who would be upset about a breakup, and even though she wasn't crying or anything, I knew something was wrong instantly, because I could feel it. You know, and the same as like feeling, you know, I guess you could say, some people who say when they're at a bank and they saw a person walk in and they just had that gut feeling that it might be someone who's going to rob them, or, you know, just something negative, and you're like, wow, I just had that feeling that this wasn't a good person. And that feeling is the feeling of their energy. Now, clearly, obviously, you know, we think about it, people who are doing, like, super bad things, like robbing a bank, or, you know, someone who's going to attack you or something of that nature, their energy is so severely negative and dark that, you know, I think anyone who isn't even remotely close to being a light worker can feel that there's something wrong. You know, but as a light worker, as you get more sensitive to these things, those things will become more prevalent quickly and more readily than for others. So usually, you know, when it comes to connecting to animals or to the angels, you know, you just need to start being aware of energies and the way they feel, so you could discern your energy from someone else's energy. You know, I did have a struggle for a little bit, discerning whether I was upset or really upset, or was I upset because I was feeling someone else's upsetness. So, you know, that's a thing that could happen too, you know, where if you're feeling, you know, sad or depressed for no reason, you know, you just take a moment to look at where you are or who you've been around, and maybe you've, you know, picked up their energy, and that's why you're feeling the way you are. So I worked on that, just making sure that my energy was always on a positive, was always something that was going to be beneficial to me, and living a very quiet mind. I talked about this before. We need to learn to quiet your mind and not really give so much thought to things. I mean, God, we go through the days thinking about everything under the sun, when in reality we should just know what we need to do, and then those are things that we can't change or don't have the ability to change, or things that shouldn't even be a concern of ourselves. We should just let it go. I think the hardest problem that people have right now is to be able to let things go. If it does not serve you a purpose, if that feeling, that thought, that, and everything doesn't serve your purpose, and let it go. No sense in harboring and festering, you know. So those things I practiced a lot, and besides being able to communicate with angels, or, you know, becoming more connected with animals, it just helped me to be a better person, do you know what I mean, in general. And it helped me really to be able to understand what I'm feeling and what I'm sensing. And being able to discern those things allowed me to understand when I actually got a message or a feeling from, you know, from the angels or animals, because I was able to discern between my own, others, et cetera, and so forth, okay? So that's one of the tools that you can start practicing on in being able to communicate. And it seems so silly. You're like, oh, but that's not communicating. Yeah, but you have to be the vessel. You have to be the vessel that allows the communication to happen. And if your vessel is clogged and the channels are very narrow, you're not going to be able to get that communication, that open communication that you want. You know, so you have to think of it that way. You know, you are the vessel. And we want it to be clean. We want it to be perfect. We want it to be welcoming and inviting to spirits and the angels and higher beings of any type, you know what I mean? Especially if you want to get into reading, like, Akashic records or doing, you know, tarot cards or angel reading cards. I mean, those are all things that you can do, but you as a vessel need to be clean and clear and very open but healthy. Do you know what I mean? So that's why it's very important in the beginning of process of all this is to make sure that you yourself is grounded mind, body, and spirit. You know, so working on feeling and getting rid of negativity is one of the tools. And then secondly, let's say, when it comes to animal communication, I have had a gift of doing that. I've always had a large quantity of empathy for animals and how they are acted, treated and behaved and just in general. I've always been that way. And it might be just my natural connection. You know, some people do have more connection than others, which is fine. Obviously, if you're in the desire to learn to animal communicate, it means that you probably are already predisposed to have that communication barrier lifted and have that ability to do so, right? So what I've done, too, with animal communication, and I, you know, of course, worked on my dogs first because that's, you know, the closest thing, is that I really do feel that their eyes, and even in people, same thing with people, I feel that their eyes are the gateway to their soul. So I did a lot of work on just keeping eye contact and trying to see if I feel what they feel. You know, their emotions or what they're, you know, thinking at the time. And by thinking, I mean like, you know, just the basic general idea of like, well, I'm just sitting here or I'm hungry or something of that sort. You know, so I look into their eyes, I focus on it, and I settle my mind, quiet my mind, and I just listen. And that's it. Okay, so that's one thing that I do. The other thing with experiencing, I guess, angelic communication is meditating. You know, that goes a little hand in hand with quieting your mind, but meditation is the best possible way to settle yourself, clean yourself, to open your vessel and listen. And through meditation, you could hear so much, you know, and the communication makes it so much easier. So learning to meditate and giving yourself that time in the morning when you wake up or that time at night when, before you go to bed is just important to your general overall mental and spiritual health. And it's just important. And it actually, once you become more comfortable with it where you don't sit there and criticize yourself whether you're doing it right or wrong or thinking that you're doing things wrong and you just do it and you get into that state of mind of relaxation quicker and easier, then it becomes easy for you and you'll find it's like a great refuge for you to go to after a long day of work and just, you know, start cleaning the negativity from you that you might have picked up from people, you know, or just settling your mind from the daily thoughts and just releasing things that you just shouldn't hold on to and giving your worries and your thoughts to the angels and trusting that they're going to help and guide you. So meditation is another tool that I want you to also try to use. So I had recently had an experience where, you know, I had a communication with a deceased pet. And I may have talked about this last week or the week before. But I had a good friend whose dog, wonderful dog, was killed by an attack from off-the-leash pit bulls. I know, don't get me wrong. I don't hate pit bulls. I think all dogs are beautiful. I do think that some dogs are predisposed just by natural genetics to have the ability to be a little bit more aggressive than others, just by the norm on why they were bred and created as a breed to be. For instance, like a Presser Carino is a dog that's bred specifically to hunt boar, right? So I'm sure they're sweet dogs, awesome. But if they're going to hunt boar, they have the position to be able to do so. And that's a pretty big animal that's nasty anyway. And so to have a dog that's able to hunt and kill that, it makes him very significantly stronger than a poodle. So, needless to say, I watch a lot of pit bulls and collies, just like some of you, I'm sure. Needless to say, any dog that's off leash, any dog, and in a pack of three, it becomes a pack and it becomes a problem. So, just so happened that my friend was walking her dog, and it was with a group of three pit bulls. So not only was the scenario bad because it's three off the leash dogs, but it was three off the leash pit bulls no less. And so they ran up to my friend and her dog was scared. And one of them lurched there, bit her face and her neck, and dragged her to the ground. And my friend, and they tried to get the dog off. Everything was horribly miserable. It was an awful death. Awful, 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 awful. They ended up having to put her down. I guess the injuries were just so severe. And I felt instantly like a huge amount of sadness when I heard the news, which is I thought maybe it was just more because, well, I lost a dog that I used to babysit for. I mean, she was a sweet dog. But then I think I was feeling what I was feeling was her and how she felt. And she was sad because she didn't want to go at this time. She didn't want to go now. And I just got that feeling like it was just too soon, too soon. And she was very sad. And I just got that feeling, the overwhelming sadness that was just so hard to explain. It wasn't just because she died, kind of like the sadness you get when you lose somebody. It was something else. I was feeling the way she felt. And then, of course I cried. I'm not like normal people. And I was sad and I was hurt because I didn't want her to have passed that way. And then, talking to her owner, just making sure that she's okay, that, she's handling things okay, that, what is she going to do about going to court, et cetera, so forth. And, I just reminded her, I said, hey, I just know, I want to let you know that generally speaking, when a person or an animal passes, they usually stick around on an earthly plane for at least about 2 weeks. Because A, they're new to this whole death thing, and they kind of like to stay where they know best, which would be earthbound. And then they like to stay around to help you with your grieving process to make sure that they're there supporting you, whether you know that they're there or not. So I just told her, I was like, you may or may not hear her chain jangling, or maybe hear her feet padding across the floor, or something that's very distinctive to you that you know that that's her. And she wrote back and she's like, oh my God. She's like, I heard her whining like she usually does when she wants to go out to go potty. And she's like, I heard her last night. I'm like, see, she's there. She's just letting you know that she's there. And so then I wanted to think about, like, I really wanted to try hard to communicate with her to find out what she wanted me to tell the owner. Is there something you want me to have you tell Lisa or Peter? And all I heard from her was just, and I saw her face. It was really weird. I just saw her face looking up at me, and she says, my time was coming soon anyway. It just came a little quicker than I wanted. So I was like, oh my God. So basically, I mean, the dog was 13 years old, and I've always told Lisa, I said, she might live to 14, might. And that's what I always felt, that she might live. So she was 13. She was starting to have some problems, aging problems, with nerves and stuff like that. So I wasn't far off to think that she wasn't going to make it longer to her 14th birthday. So, this death was a little quicker than I think most would have liked and a little bit harsher than probably expected. But I think it gives more comfort to know that, even though she died a little earlier, she wasn't going to be here for very much long anyway. So I just sent that message to her. So hopefully she'll receive it in a positive manner. I did have an experience where I had a good friend of mine who passed away. He and I went to the military together. Not together, like we joined together, but ran into him and met him when I was in training in Texas after basic training. And we basically followed each other throughout the whole career. I mean, we both followed each other to Korea, and then we followed each other to Texas, and then, for some time we weren't really in the same working place, and then at my last job he was there working. So I knew him for a long time. We had a very mutual respect for each other. We didn't hang out and drink and do things like we used to in Korea, but we just respected each other, period, just being, I guess, former soldiers together, kind of camaraderie type thing. Anyway, like 2 weeks before Christmas, I had to think, I'm like, it's a blizzard. I'm like, no, Christmas. He was found dead in his apartment. You know, and I was just like, holy crap, what's going on? You know, and I told Tria, I was like, I was so sad. And I'm like, why am I so sad? I mean, I lost a good friend, but I'm like, I'm talking so sad. And I was like, I feel so much grief. What is this? You know, and it turns out I was feeling his grief because he unexpectedly died. He didn't know he was going to. So for him, it was a shock, and he was grieving the fact that he wasn't going to be alive anymore. You know, and so I was like, no kidding. And I think, you know, during the process of allowing people to know what had happened to him, I really was very selective on who I told. And I really emphasized the fact of being respectful on not gossiping and things like that, which I got a feeling was something that he wanted me to do, you know. And so pretty much after 2 weeks of his passing, you know, I don't feel his energy around me as much as it used to be. You know, I'm sure I can call up on him, but I felt the energy of him, and I was guided more on, you know, with him on what to do for his funeral stuff and to let people at my old job know in a certain way, because he was a private man. He wasn't somebody who wanted to have gossip. He was never really into that. And my last job was a bunch of gossiping high school catty, crappy people. So he knew that, and I think he was very grateful that I kept it to a minimum for him. But and all those experiences were done by feeling. Okay, so I felt the energy. You know, so when you're talking with experiences with talking with angels, I tend to talk a lot more. I do a lot of talking to all of them, of course, every day, daily. I do a lot to the Archangel Michael. He gives me the strength to be able to go through things. So when I'm going through difficult times, I call on him, you know, Archangel Raphael. But I do a lot of calling on Archangel Ariel, who helps with animal communication. And when I feel her, you know, I usually feel a sense of peace instantaneously. So she calms me down, because usually it's when I'm nervous riding my horse or, you know, afraid because of, you know, experiences of being falling off of my horse, which is kind of traumatic and, you know, it hurts. I don't know about you, but falling off a horse hurts. So, you know, of course my confidence has been blown because of it. And so I would call on her to help me balance my horse's energy, to unite my energy with my horse's so that we're one, you know, and we don't fear, you know, we just trust each other. And usually when I ask for help, pretty instantaneously it comes. And I feel a sense of love and a sense of peace. You know, I have called on her to help me, like, if a horse is running amok in the pasture and doesn't want to get caught to be ridden, because some of the horses that my friends ride have done that, I've called on her to help me catch them. And generally what happens within the next minute, I go to approach the horse and the horse just stands for me. And she won't run or he won't run anymore, and I'm able to catch him. It's kind of remarkable to do. But a lot of times, like I said, you know, in the beginning, it's because I come with a clean energy, you know, so if you're wanting to communicate with the angels, you got to come with a clean energy. You know, you have to know how to separate your ego from your higher self, to be more of a blank sheet of paper, so that you can listen to what the messages are when they come. I always look in the eyes, you know, of the animals that I want to communicate with, whether it's in my mind's eye or whether it's physical. I just look square into them and listen. You know, and I wait and feel. And then meditation. Those are the three tools so I want you to work on to be able to do this. But my animal connections have come off more frequently now that I have a cleaner vessel and I'm able to see it, you know, see what I need to do, communication. and my experiences have started to become more frequent. Like, I knew there was a horse that was going to pass away, and I knew she wanted to stay longer, but she knew she shouldn't, you know? So, and like, things like that is very, very strange, you know? And I get just quick thoughts, you know? So I might walk by, and I hear, you know, one of them, which is like, I'm hungry. And I look up, and there's one staring at me, and I'm like, okay, okay, I'll get you some hay. Things like that. I feel a lot with my dog recently because we lost my little guy, Jack, in June. And so sometimes, you know, I feel her just like her energy being sad that I'm leaving the house to go to work. I feel her energy when she's extremely happy when I'm home and she just wants to play. Like, I feel her love a lot more lately, too. And, of course, you know, she was laying on the ground once, and I come and I give her, like, floor time where I give him love on the floor. It may seem silly, but so I lay down with her and we just talk and stuff, you know, and I give her love and scratches. And then I just heard her say, you know, why do you have to go and ride that horse? You know, and basically she was expressing her jealousy that I leave to go see another animal. And, of course, I had explained to her that I have, you know, several, you know, pets that I love, and that, you know, Sky is not better or worse than her, that I love everyone equally, you know, and I have to do the things that make me happy. Just the same as when I leave to go to work, I look at her and say, well, I'm sorry, I wish I could stay home and just chill with you on the couch and let you sleep with me, you know, on the couch while I watch TV, but I got to make money so I could buy all the things to buy for her, like all the treats and stuff. So, you know, it's, I think the best practice if you want to try with the communication is just understanding your animal. If you have a cat or a dog or something like that, it's fun to work on. You know, and I, of course, feel the joy when I see my horse after I haven't seen her in like 2 weeks. You know, I always say that she loves seeing her human, you know, and she does show her love, and I feel it. And that's the thing, I guess some people see angels, I feel them. Some people, you know, we'll see energies like the auras and stuff around the eyes. Like, I feel it. So I can feel when they're happy and sad or, you know, indifferent. And they, just the same as I think, since they're more of a pure form of a being, they feel energies too. And that's why some dogs don't like certain people over others, because they feel the energies. So I think a good practice, like I said, you know, again, is to make sure you're cleaning yourself, you know, making sure your vessel is clear of negativity, clear of, you know, your ego. And that's part of the mind-body-spirit connection. So making sure you're connected to yourself in all ways, you know, and working on eliminating that ego and negativity that is so prevalent in this world, and just pushing it aside. So, and looking into the eyes, and it's, so clearly we can't look into the eyes of angels, but you can visualize who you're looking, you know, at, okay? So it's similar in that respect if you want to talk to angels and that. But I, you know, when it comes to animal communication, I think looking into their eyes is the gateway to their soul, so you can see and feel more energy that way. And then, of course, meditation, if you want to do more of a long distance or, you know, communication with the angels as well, you can practice meditation. And like I said, there's no wrong way or right way to meditate. The only way that works is that you're relaxing your mind, quieting it, not giving thoughts to anything, and really relaxing and getting into that really nice, almost kind of almost want to go to sleep state, but not really. Okay? And just practice that. I mean, everything takes practice. It's not going to come to you instantaneously, but it does help to practice a lot. And you'll get a lot out of it just even practicing in general. You know, meditation is a great way to make yourself better, to balance out chakras, to make your energies equal, you know, just to be a better person, just the same as just making sure you're in the mind-body-spirit connection. You know, those tools out of the three, I think, are really vital just in general to be a great light worker and a human being. So that is the whole conversation I have for today. I hope you get something out of it. I like surprises on what I'm going to do for these shows because it keeps me on the toes and it keeps you guys wondering, what am I going to talk about? So next week, 8 o'clock, same time, same bat channel, and I will all talk to you next weekend. Hope you have a good one. It's going to be freezing like butt cheeks over here. It's going to be 24 degrees on Saturday with a wind chill of, it's going to be about 9. So I'm going to be cold working out in the barn. So send me some warmth if you're in a warm area. If you're in a cold area like me, then just bundle up and we'll send each other some warm thoughts. So y'all have a great night, and I will talk to you soon. Okay? Talk to you later. Bye.